Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning. It truly is an honor to stand before you today, always an honor to share. I thank God for the opportunity and for Dean Swift for asking us to come, and Dr. Smith in his absence today. We send greetings to you from the students across the river at Kirkland. As Dean Swift mentioned last week, we had the opportunity and the privilege of interviewing applicants for our next cohort that will start in January. And we have identified 15 that will join us to study, to receive their associate's degree there at Kirkland. And we also are gearing up for another graduation. We're having a graduation this December, and we have 12 who have just about completed the program, and they're poised to graduate, and they will be joining the 157 graduates that we've graduated over the last 12 years. So they send their greetings to you and are praying with and for you, as they're hoping that you're praying for them as they continue their studies. One of the things that we do there, and I'll share this briefly and get into the word that the Lord has given me to share this morning. One of their ministry assignments, while they're studying with us, they share, go down into the dorms to minister to inmates who are just coming into the system. And we try to track as best we can those visits, starting from January 1 up until today, how many times that we've seen inmates and men accept Jesus Christ, and how many times we've seen rededications for Christ. So here are the numbers. Actually, this is of last week. Since January 1st, they visited 22,600 times. They've seen 609 first-time decisions to accept Jesus Christ, and they've seen 906 rededications for Christ. Can we give God praise for that? Amen. So they are working hard to finish. There is a word that the Lord has prompted in my heart to share with you today. Actually, a couple of passages, brief passages, that I want to lift up from the Word of God. The first is in Matthew chapter 11. Very familiar couple of verses. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. And the next, in the other passage, will be Luke 9:23. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want to just lift up one phrase where he says, "Learn from me." Luke 9:23, he's simply another invitation, but also a challenge. He says, "If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Follow me." You know, I asked this question of myself recently. Have you ever asked this question? What would it look like if we were walking with and fellowshipping with Jesus like the disciples were when he was on the earth? When he called them to follow him, and they followed him everywhere he went. But what would it look like for us if we consistently, persistently, daily just walked with Jesus, communicated with him like they did? They just went everywhere with Jesus and they watched him do ministry. They listened to his messages. They interacted with him. They slept with him. They ate together. They did ministry together. They did everything together with Jesus. For that time span that he had them, some would estimate, he 3.5 years, but others would say he watched for a while before he invited them to come follow him to be his disciples. However long time we frame that, but during that time they dropped everything, their businesses, their normal routines, their practices, even their homes, to follow wherever Jesus went. What would it look like for us to do that today? Where every day our desire is to walk with him that closely, that persistently, that consistently, where we're talking with him all day, spending all day with him. Each day, every day, serving wherever he said serve, whenever he said serve, watching him do his work, not only watching, but participating, joining him in his work. And as a result, we're seeing all kinds of transformations, miracles, just all kinds of things that he's doing. What would that look like? Well, that question came to me because my family and I have been going through a season of loss. And I'm a pastor. I direct the Prison Initiative program. I do a lot of community stuff. I'm pretty busy. And also working on my doctorate. I was actually in my research class this summer and just a final leg of working on my dissertation. And all that was in operation. And then my mom went home to be with the Lord. Now, I've been through dealing with loss. I've walked people through. I've had untold amount of funerals that I had to officiate and preach. I've even had my own loss in family members and loved ones. But this year was different. I think because last year I lost my dad. And I'm gracious that God gave me one more year before he took my mom. But I'm in grief. And I say that kind of a new understanding of that, where, like I've said, I've walked people through, but it snuck up on me. So much so that everything just came crashing down. I had to stop my dissertation work. I had to give some time to myself because of the loss. Grief is very disorienting. Oh, that's my phone. I'm sorry. If you know how to work it, just turn it off. I remember distinctly that I was actually getting ready for another funeral at my church. And anybody ever watched the movie Hacksaw Ridge? Anybody ever see that? It's a powerful movie. It's about this medic, young man who enlisted in the Army, wanted to serve, but he was a conscientious objector and he did not want to touch a gun. So he had a lot of challenges getting through training, especially when they found out that he was not going to handle a gun. But he was able to prevail, and they allowed him to go to war. He was in Okinawa, and there is this ridge called Hacksaw Ridge, and this is actually based on a true story. This is a true story. And a devout believer, follower of Jesus Christ. And they went up on that ridge with his platoon, his troops, and they fought against the Japanese, and it was a fierce battle, lost some lives, He had his first taste of being an army medic and retrieving those. He didn't have a gun, but he went to save lives, not to take lives. And they spent the night there. The next morning, the Japanese came out from all over and overran that platoon, the army. And when the dust settled, it was only him by himself with his best friend. He was an antagonist before, but they bonded overnight, and he was with him as he died. And the camera zoomed in, and he prayed, and he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do now? I don't understand. I can't hear you." Right after that, he heard the voice of one of his army buddies who cried out for the medic, and he understood that to be God's will for him to stay on that mountain by himself with no weapon and try to get all of those wounded soldiers to safety. At that scene, I was getting ready for a funeral that morning, and as I was getting dressed watching this, the floodgates opened. I mean, I boo-hooed like I've never boo-hooed before. And I couldn't stop. So much so that I had to ask God, "Now you gotta help me compose myself, because I gotta preach this funeral." And he did that, and I did. But that weekend was a weekend of tears. I'm struggling today. I'm just talking about it, and tears are flowing. And that was an indicator for me that something was wrong, and I needed to address it. And during that, I was reading the scriptures, and that question arose. What would it look like? Because I needed to be with him. I needed to spend time with the Lord. And I thought about that whole dynamic. What would that look like for us to walk with God, to be like Enoch? That the real presence of God, we practice the presence of God on a regular basis. I mean, all day, every day long. And I found that there are some challenges there. Well, the first thing I believe, and I don't think they understood it when they first started walking with Jesus, but he invited them to come. He said, "Learn from me." He says, "Follow me." But I don't think they understood the main goal for why he called them. You know, in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, that's the account where Mark tells us that Jesus calls from the disciples, the apostles. And it says that he called them to be apostles. Now, slow down when you read this part. That they might be with him, and that they would go out to preach. See, he calls us first, not just to send us out to do ministry, but that we would be with him first. And so I don't believe they understood initially that he called them to himself to be in relationship with him. So my first point here is, what would it look like to be with him? You got to have a real relationship. A real relationship. Because everything that we do for him is out of our relationship with him. Our goal should therefore always be, I want to be with him. I've been read the applications for all of these applicants for our program, and we have our own admissions process there, and we read all the applications, and we read all the essays. They're sharing about their salvation experience, but we also ask them a question: why do you want to come to CIU? And they have good answers, because they want to learn more about the Bible, because they want to be used by God, they want to share, they want to be trained and equipped so that they can minister. Some of them want to grow spiritually, and all of them, y'all, are good answers, but it's not the best answer. The best answer is to be with him. You know, there are some people who want to go to heaven. A lot of people say they want to go to heaven. And you know, that's what their desire is. I want to go to heaven. That's good, but that's not the best answer. Listen to me. Our goal should not be to go to heaven. I want y'all to throw a stone at me real quick because that sounds like that's heretical. Our goal should not be to go to heaven. Our goal should be to be with him. See, all these other things are a byproduct of our relationship with God. See, John 17:3 said, Jesus explains to us what eternal life is, going to heaven. This is eternal life, that they know God and the one whom he sent, Jesus Christ. If we know him, then we get to go to heaven. Because heaven is where he is. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And as I go to prepare a place, I'll come back so I can bring you to myself. A lot of people want to go to heaven, but they don't even want to know the owner. They want to go there, but you can tell that they're focusing on the place and not the person because they begin to ask the question, what are we going to do up there? Are we going to be bored? Am I going to have fun? A real relationship. Many of you came here for many purposes. Good, good. You want to pursue the ministry trajectory that you feel God has put you on. You want to get this degree to help you to accomplish what you feel that you desire to accomplish in this life. Some of you came because it was an opportunity, a door opened, and you were able to come here to see IU. Maybe athletic door opened. Maybe somebody said, you know what? I want you to go to college. I want to go and I'll support you. I'll pay your way. That door opened and you're here. But don't miss this. That's maybe our perspective, but God's perspective is always, I'm moving you to be in closer relationship with me. It's about you and me. Because it's a danger to be in a place like this where you're surrounded by the things of God and even studying the word of God and you miss God. And it's easy because what happens is when you're studying, sometimes we can use that study as a substitute with our relationship. And then after a while, you feel like you're dry on the inside and you can't figure that out because I'm in a good place. God is being spoken of and I'm learning about him, but I'm dry. I don't know why I'm so dry. And you get to the place where I don't even know why I'm here. What am I doing here? Because you might have set a goal, but not the real goal, the priority, the best goal is I come to grow with you, to have a real relationship with you. They were seeking to be with him, even good to be like him, but not the best is to be with him. What comes out of that, that's foundational. To walk with him because you want to be with him, you have to have radical discipline, spiritual disciplines. That's in the word, spending time with him through prayer. Now for the disciples, he was there. They naturally were able to spend time with him and to listen to his word every time he spoke. But for us, because he is now ascended, we have the Holy Spirit, but he's not tangible where we can focus on him on a regular basis, every day, all day. That's why we need our disciplines, that we spend time with the word, in the word, and we spend time in prayer, that we fast. Because that's not our goal. That's good that you do that. But our goal, the reason why we do that, is so that we can be with him. Sometimes we get focused on that goal and we check ourselves off based on how well we're doing it. Well, I'm spending time in my word. I got that checked off my list. I'm praying, got that checked off my list. I even fast sometimes. I check that off my list. And we think we've met our goal. No, that's a means to an end. That's not the end. It's a means for us to spend time with God. And so sometimes we'll fall short. Sometimes we oversleep. Sometimes we don't get in the Word like we want to. But make sure our goal is steady in front of us, that this is designed so I can be with Him. Remember when they were talking about fasting and Jesus says, while the bridegroom is with you, you don't really need to fast. But when he's gone, that's when you'll fast. Why? Because they didn't have to fast. They didn't have to do any of that because he's right there in front of them. But for us to stay close with God, we have to do these things. That's the means to an end. So let's not get so prideful about the fact that we're doing these things, but what is the purpose of it? When we get into the Word, it's not just to gain knowledge, which is important, that's true, and grow in wisdom, but may we always get into the Word of God to say, Lord, I want to spend time with you. This is what God was sharing with me to help me go through my process. He basically said, let's go back to the basics. And I had a desire to spend more time with him. Job, really, the whole book of Job, what he really needed was to be in the presence of God. His friends were a poor substitute in all of his suffering. And eventually, over the conversation, Job was struggling because, you know, the accusation was, you must have sinned for all of this to happen to you. So Job was seeking the presence of God, but what was he seeking for? To justify himself. To say, you know, I need to get a hearing with God so he can explain to me why this is going, why I'm going through this, and I know I did not sin because of this. But what he really needed was to get in his presence. And when he finally got in the presence of God and God finally connected with him, he says, you know, I heard of you. But now because of this experience, I have a whole different relationship with you now. To be with him. To do our spiritual discipline so that we could be with him. And what does it look like when you are really walking in fellowship, walking with him like the disciples did? There are two things. They had a right now obedience. When he said move, they moved. Even if they didn't understand. When he said feed the 5,000, they didn't understand. They scratched their head, but they did it. It was immediate obedience out of that relationship, ongoing relationship with God, that they walked with him. You cannot tell me, you cannot tell anyone that you're walking with God, but you're living in disobedience. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's a good test of how my relationship is going with him if I'm walking in obedience with him and I move as he says move. And I serve as he says serve. Another indicator, A-rated work ethic. Not only did they obey him, but they obey him not according to their own specifications, but according to his, exactly as he said it. That they work. When Jesus says, go in the town, get me a donkey that I can walk, that I can ride on it towards Jerusalem, tell the owner the Lord has need of it. They scratched their head, they went, they didn't know how the owner was going to react, but they did it exactly as Jesus commanded them to. And they saw the results. Now, we ought to, as Paul says, do everything heartily, with our whole heart, as unto the Lord. He tells the husbands, love your wives. Like Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Everything exactly as he says it. But guess what? It's out of the relationship. When he restored Peter, he says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. It was based out of the relationship that he served. And that's important because we want to do things for God based out of a relationship of love and not out of fear. See, when we do things out of fear, We only do things just enough to get away from any kind of repercussions or discipline. Y'all know how we were when we were smaller. Amen. Come on, give me one amen. I'm a black preacher. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
When you were small, when your parents told you to do something, why did you do it? What was your motivation? Because you were afraid of what might come next if you did not do it. And then you did it, but how did you do it? You did just, and with attitude. I got a 12-year-old son and a 5-year-old. With attitude. But we did it. But it was based off fear. But when you do it out of love, you go above and beyond the call of duty. When you turn into a parent, you don't just do the basic for your child, just to do just enough, but you go above and beyond. Why? Because you love them. And you want to give your best. So, what would it look like? First of all, we have to have a real relationship. Secondly, out of that relationship, our spiritual disciplines are there so that we can continue to walk with him, because he's not in front of us like that. And what will that look like? Immediate obedience and A-rated service. God is telling me and helping me to go back to the basics, because what I need now is to spend more time with him, that I can continue to serve and do what God's called me to do for his glory. And he'll help me, and he is helping me. And all, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things we stand in need of. Father, we thank you that you've provided a means for us to follow you closely. We can't cling to you physically, but we can cling to you spiritually and abide in you as we pursue a relationship. That's our first primary main goal, even while we're here, while you brought us here. And then, Lord, help us, Lord, to be reminded daily our need for you as we seek you as a deer panting for the water brooks, so we long after thee. And then we'll see our response and our work will reflect our relationship. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.